This is The View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 9th of February, 2016, and my name is Patrick Smith. Hi, everybody. Well, the Belfast Giants on a bit of a low form at the minute. Two games at the weekend against the Sheffield Steelers and the Cardiff Devils. Davey and Aaron will be along in just a moment to take us through both of those. We also have an exclusive chat with the brand new Belfast Giants defenseman Jim Vandermeer, talking about his arrival this week and what he expects to do in the upcoming weeks leading to the Challenge Cup games and the playoffs. Team GB are battling in Italy, so the Belfast Giants have a bit of a weekend of exhibition games while Team GB are in Cortina. The team from Cortina travelled to Belfast to take on our own at the SSC Arena. And we'll be chatting with defenceman Richard Crowley all about his team and finding out a little bit more about our opponents this weekend. We cast our eye across the league, looking at Brayhead, Manchester, Dops and many other things beside. And of course, we take on your questions in the fan agenda. If you want to get in contact with us, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com, at AVFTB on Twitter, soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our interviews, Instagram and the likes all out there as well. Yeah, it's a difficult one to do every so often you get one of these shows, but let's just get cracking, eh? Many moons ago, when I started doing this podcast, and for many years, as it went on, I used to sit here on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, whenever we would record it, and I'd open a beer or two, and I'd have a couple of drinks while I was doing it, just to sort of like get myself into it. But as I got older, and fatter, and balder, and less wise, I decided, you know, a glass of water, cup of tea, you know, get through it. But given the recent run of form and the fact that, you know, what we have to talk about and how tough it is to talk about it, David McGimsey, I would have liked to have opened a couple of beers because it's, despite, you know, we do this podcast openly and it doesn't make it any less difficult to talk about a run that the Belfast Giants are on.
It does not, Paddy. As a taste of home, I'm drinking my water out of a harp glass, but it is water nonetheless. I'm looking after the children, so Can't have a drink on me, but one of these days we'll get one. We'll be able to look back on this season, the good and the bad, over a beer. That's the good thing about hockey. Every game's a new game. You get to write a new chapter every year. It hasn't been good. There's no doubt about that. It's been hard to talk about at times. It's been very hard to watch at times, but there's been some good stuff. And when it goes in the annals of history, it's done with. And, you know, we'll look back on this season and we'll remember the good bits.
And Aaron Kernahan, you know, coming back into the View from the Bridge fold, we hope maybe we'd have a more upbeat season. It's been up and down, but I guess, you know, it's the way to break you back into it.
Well, yeah, it's certainly given me a lot more to get my teeth into than if it had just been all plain sailing. yeah, you know, like I'm comfort eating with a pancake here tonight, so, you know, things aren't great.
See, I wouldn't mind a pancake or two. It is Shrove Tuesday after all. Anyway, guys, let's get stuck into the chatting about these two games from the weekend. The Belfast Giants were away from home against the Sheffield Steelers and the Cardiff Devils. One league, one cup. Let's start with that game against the Sheffield Steelers. The Belfast Giants, unfortunately, the subject of a 4-2 defeat at the Sheffield Arena. However, it started well. Craig Peacock scored after only 12 seconds and Daryl Lloyd doubled it in the second period after only about a minute and a half. But then Sheffield got back into the game and scored four unanswered goals. Jono Phillips, Guillaume Debienne, and Tyler Mosienko got it in the second and two in the third before Jason Hewitt rounded off to make it 4-2 with an empty net goal. Aaron, the Belfast Giants up and cruising. They let go a short-handed one that Jonathan Phillips scores, and then it just falls apart.
Yeah, I thought, as you say, we were cruising. The reaction after the game on Saturday, there was a lot of negative reaction, but I actually thought for probably the first two periods of this game, the Giants were, I'm not going to say very good or excellent, but they were fully deserving of the lead that they built up. You know, they played pretty well. They scored a couple of quite nice goals. Getting that goal early, I think, maybe helped the guys settle. But again, we've just seen again, you know, once they let in a goal, and it's another shorthanded goal. I mean, with Davey, the statistician there, and I think we mentioned this at the weekend when we were, you know, while we were following the game, it must be 10, 11 shorthanded goals we've conceded this season. I'm sure Davey can keep me right on the actual number there. But it just seems to be the thing that, you know, something goes wrong in every game, and instead of bouncing back, we just seem to unravel. And it's getting to the point now where it's hard to explain why.
Davey, we wanted the Giants to come out all guns blazing, especially going into Sheffield, where we're 1-6 going into this game, and we had to go out there and hit them hard. And we did, you know, Craig Peacock scoring high backhand within 12 seconds, and then the actual lead being doubled. So what changed? What caused the Giants? Is it the fact that Sheffield upped their game, or that the Giants basically took a step back?
There's a few factors. I'm going to slightly disagree with Aaron on watching the full game back again there earlier today. In the first period, yes, we got ahead and we looked good. We had a lot of time in the Sheffield zone. We didn't create an awful lot on pins. And the Steelers, when they had their chances, created goal-scoring opportunities. Now, Stephen Murphy made a couple of big saves. The defence made a couple of good blocks in the first period. It was a lot more even. Even when the Giants were 2-0 up, and whenever we conceded that first goal, albeit shorthanded, 11th, by the way, Aaron, of the season, as you were
Thank
quite
you.
Right, it really shook us. And in the interval between the second and third periods, one of the Steelers' bench crew was interviewed, and he was just saying, you know, our fitness is starting to take over, and I think there was an element of mental tiredness with the Giants for whatever reason. You know, we've played a lot of hockey in the last lot of weeks, but so is Sheffield, and we made mental mistakes, we made positional mistakes rather than physical tiredness mistakes. The Davy Ends goal, which has been Sheffield's second one to even the game up, came from a terrible, terrible line change. Mark Garside was looking after the centre of the ice. Raja goes for a line change and realises he's not making it and jumps back on, but it's too late. Debian's got a step on him, and by the time Garside comes across and gets a stick, and I think he gets a little bit of a stick on the shot as well, which takes it back past Murphy. But, you know, I think Murph is going to look at a couple of incidents during that game where he might have been able to do a bit better, and obviously then they've rounded it out with a power play goal and empty netter. Not our best performance from the season, but at 2-0, we'd done a lot of the hard work, but Sheffield are such a desperate team. They were still fighting for the league. They collapsed around Pence. They have five out skaters blocking shots in front of them with heads, hearts, whatever they could get in front of the puck. They were willing to do that. And, you know, other teams' forwards are getting in and around Murphy and able to get contact and sticks on Murphy and just get opportunities and put him off his game, because our defence isn't blocking them out, isn't what seems like. We talk about this every week at the minute. We play a system that is high risk and causes shorthanded opportunities and causes, you know, secondary scoring opportunities when your goalie maybe isn't making the save that you need him to at the time. And unfortunately, that's what happened to us at the weekend. 1-7 against the Steelers over the season. You're not going to win anything with statistics like that. Even though some of the games have been, you know, wafer tight, we've came out on the wrong side, and we need to find ways to win. If we're going to be consistent, then we're going to be championship winning, you know, teams. You know, that's the consistency we're lacking, and it's coming from, we knew at the start of the season with the defence that was recruited, the team that was recruited, that we would give opportunities to other teams. And I think even Walsh at the weekend was, you know, saying we're just not getting the big save at the minute that we need. And unfortunately, that's a team thing. You know, it's not just, I'm not just labelling Stephen Murphy as making the save. I'm talking about defence blocking shots. I'm talking about defence limiting scoring opportunities. And at the minute, we're just not getting it.
Let's bring it back to those special teams, Aaron. You mentioned about, you know, Davey's come up with the stats there. We were 1-5 on the power play. We actually outshot the Sheffield Steelers in their own rink. You know, we had 26 to their 20. But shorthanded, giving up those goals, the penalty kill as it is, It developed over the weekend. I didn't think it was as bad. We'll talk about Sunday's game in a minute. I didn't think it was as bad on Sunday night as it seemed to struggle on Saturday. But it's the discipline and being forced to be on those special teams that's come and hurt us again.
It is, and it's not just hurting us from the point of view of conceding goals on the, you know, why we're on the special teams. It's the sort of the follow on from that. It's, you know, especially when we've been down in the last lot of weeks to maybe 4 day at times with other guys filling in. And that's probably something that's contributing to those mistakes that Davey touched on, those mental mistakes. You know, guys are maybe a little bit tired and just not quite as sharp as they would be if they were playing the game full strength all night. And the other thing, you mentioned the shots there. You know, again, it was a similar sort of situation to what we've seen before. Yes, we've had those 26 shots, but, you know, they're shots that maybe aren't that difficult for the other goalie to save. And then at the other end, we're a little bit soft in front of Murph. And Murph's, a lot of times, he's doing what he's paid to do. He's making that first save, and he's making some very good first saves. And unfortunately then, you know, the puck's sitting right in front of him, and the first person getting to it is, in this case, the Steelers, you know, but in previous games, it's been other guys. I mean, thinking back to the Steelers games at home, I think they scored virtually all their goals from within about 8 feet of the net, you know, with guys diving to poke loose pucks home that Murphy had saved, you know. So that's still the issue, and hopefully it'll be remedied in future with some of the changes that are coming.
Davey, no Matt Nickerson, no Chris Higgins. Aaron makes the point there. We're soft in front of goal. Do you agree?
I'm not sure putting Chris Higgins in there.
It's going to change much, mainly statistical.
Higgy would be self-effacing enough to say that himself. He's not the 6'4" crease-clearing D-man. But yes, a lot of the physicality in this team falls to Adam Keefe to lead that way. We miss the likes of Nickerson. We miss, this is going to sound terrible, we miss the likes of Johan Edipan. We miss the likes of Mike Wilson, because they're just not doing it physically in front of our net. And I had a very interesting conversation with one of Mike Wilson's very good friends, who was over from Vancouver at the weekend, and asking, you know, many times has Mike Wilson fought this year? You know, he's an absolute beast. None, mate. Haven't seen it. Haven't seen that aggressive streak. Haven't seen, you know, one of my bugbears, as you know, over years of hard physical players play with an edge and come to this league and get, what's Mike Wilson got? Just hang on, give me 1 second. Regular season, Mike Wilson, 23 points in 49 games. So, you know, we'll say half a point a game from players that aren't used to scoring half a point a game. Suddenly realise they don't have to be that guy anymore. They slightly change their game. I'm not saying they're losing the edge, but they play a different game than what they're used to playing, because all players want to be that guy that scores the points. And, you know, there's very few people want to be the boring, mundane, stay at home, get no glory. If you have an opportunity for glory, it's human nature that you go for it. And I definitely think there's a changing in the style of players that come to this league when they realize there's an opportunity for them to get some personality, or, you know, some points on their own charts. Whereas you need, these players were recruited to be what they were recruited to be, and we need more of what they were recruited for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt you there, mate, but on that point with regards to, say, Mike Wilson, we're short on D as it is. We've got Mitch Ganzak there, who's as feisty as anybody and probably one of our leading penalty minute takers at this moment in time. Is there an element to it then that Mike Wilson may not be the beast or the fighter that his mates want or expect him to be, because he looks across the D lines and he realizes that he can't afford to be in the box?
No, I kind of disagree with you there, because he's taken a share of silly penalties. You only need to go back to Cardiff a couple of weeks ago when he had that 4 or 5 cross checks in the back. You know, a soft hook and minor on Saturday. I think he had to quickly look at the game sheet for Sunday night rough and minor. You know, he's akin to taking a couple of minors himself. I'm not talking about Mike Wilson going out there and having a fight. I'm talking about Mike Wilson being the 6-footer plus that he is, you know, boxing people out, not letting easy shots in, willing to go down and block shots in front of Stephen Murphy. And look, I'm not picking on Mike Wilson here. To picking on, I said earlier in my diatribe from 5 minutes ago, talking about team defense and everybody buying in that if you don't concede, you don't lose. goals, you know, goals win games, that old cliche, goals win game, defence win championships. And that's where our biggest problem is. It's in defence.
It's funny you say that, and Aaron, I'll move you in this regards to team defence and how important it is. Travelled down to Cardiff with let's just say a good friend who lives in Manchester, who's involved with one of the teams, and he was saying about how, you know, team defence with regards to his team are, you know, it's utmost importance, and hence why they've had to make a few changes. And it's that team defence, especially at the Giants as well, just doesn't seem to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, we talked at length during the pre-season about how, you know, the guys that would sign all did seem to be quite offensively minded, and who would be the guys that would stay at home, and whether we had the right balance. And it looks like we maybe have just gone just that little bit too far in the other way. And perhaps we've, you know, it's left us open at the back. We've then tried to tighten up, and that's maybe taken a little bit away from the offense since we've done that. You know, thinking back to that Coventry game that ended, what was it, 11-9 or whatever. Since then, we seem to have tried to tighten, you know, like to tighten the system up, but it just hasn't quite paid off. Maybe we need to go back and just play run and gun from now on and have a few more 11-9 games for entertainment's sake.
We'll say that we only had give up 20 shots in Sheffield on Sunday night. We only give up 4 shots in the final period. You know, it's you know, you put a magnifying glass, another one, you know, you win as a team, you lose as a goalie. It's hard on Stephen Murphy to get, you know, blamed, but, you know, we need him to make the big save at the big time at the minute. And just now and again, we're not just coming up with that big save when we really, really need it. And that has an effect on the team as well. But, you know, we've gone to Sheffield. We have been quite loose, but only conceded 17 shots. But Sheffield had a lot of goal-scoring opportunities in them. Stephen Murphy, as Aaron has said, made a lot of first-up big saves. There was a lot of pucks cleared out of the crease, with likes of Mitch Ganzak in there getting sticks on loose pucks. But there's just something that's just not right there at the minute.
The highlights of that game from Saturday night are available from Steelers TV. Let's move on to Sunday night's game, because Sunday night was the first leg of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup on the Belfast Giants' final game at the Big Blue Tent to take on the Cardiff Devils. And at halftime in this matchup, it is 5-3 to the Devils. The scores on the night, well, the scoring was opened by Trevor Hendricks, who scored on 8 minutes in the first period, but penned back by James Demarai to make it 1-1. In the second period, Ryan Russell restored the lead for the Cardiff Devils before a bullet of a shot by David Rutherford went straight past bounds and made it 2-2 to close out the second. However, in the third period, well, it was 3 goals for Cardiff. Guillaume Doucette, Lee Salters and Joey Haddad with Chris Beach making it 5-3. Another shorthanded goal conceded in this one. Joey Haddad's final goal of the game was shorthanded. Davey, your take on a half time in the tie. It was 2-2 after 2 periods, and we had a chat, and that's not a bad position to be in given how dominant the Cardiff Devils have been in the Big Blue Tent.
For some reason, and we'll talk about mental tiredness as well, we conceded that, you know, those 2 goals really, really early in the third. Mm-hmm. After being, you know, 2 each and a lot of hard work done, and we almost forgot that it was a 6-period game. It was a very, very run and gun third period for, even when we conceded that to go 3-2 down, I thought we could maybe trap the game out and, you know, okay, we'll take the 3-2, but we kept going punch for punch with them quite literally at times. You know, it was I think I said in the interviews with Walser and Shieldsey, you know, it got very spicy in the third period especially. And, you know, there were some very frustrating things for me as a fan and, you know, of the Giants on Sunday night. But for 2 periods, right in it, you know, you know what you're going to get in Cardiff, that they're going to come out and you're going to have to, you know, try and see the crowd out of the game. And we didn't manage to do that in the first 10 minutes and Cardiff go ahead, but we came back into it. James Demarai scored a lovely goal, letting Bounds get to the ice and waiting and roofing it and, you know, bringing the Giants back into it. And we played well. We played well for 40 minutes. I don't think we played brilliant in the third period. You know, as I say, it was a bit punch for punch away. It was really end to end, but I think we could have been a little, the penalties we took as well, minor penalties beyond to the four ref system, you know, the four official mm-hmm. system, everything was called on Sunday night both ways. There, you know, I don't know what the penalty minutes ended up for both teams, but it was a lot, you know, 25, 50, 60, an hour's worth of minutes for across both teams on Sunday night. It was a chippy game and it didn't flow, and they got ahead and we made bad mistakes.
I know what you're saying there, mate. To a degree, I kind of disagree. I think in the first period, a lot was left and there was a lot left on the ice. There were a lot of hits left out there. There were a lot of little niggly plays, holding calls, a couple of slashes as well that were left. I think that we had Tom Darnell and Dean Smith as the two referees, Matt Rose and Sam Mutton being the two linesmen. And I thought that while they did call a lot, there was a lot more out there to call. But you're right. It the actual flow of the game didn't happen and it became very, very feisty. Aaron, your take on how the Giants played. I spoke to Gareth Hewish on Ice Time TV in the first period break. And one of the things I said on there is the Belfast Giants trying to get that 60-minute game, trying to get that high intensity for the full length of the game. And I, of course, as Davey said, this is a 6-period game of hockey and we're only halfway through, but the Giants maybe didn't keep that intensity all the way into the third.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the webcast and have to say to Gareth and the guys that at Ice Time TV, it was a really, you know, well put together webcast and really enjoyable. But, you know, watching the webcast, I would say, you know, I was pretty pleased with what I saw in the first two periods, you know, and at the end of the second period, I was confident that, I think we talked last week about how we'd be pretty happy if we'd come away with a one-goal deficit. The two-goal deficit just seems that little bit more difficult looking forward to the next day. But, you know, overall, for the first 40 minutes, I thought there was quite a lot of good things on show there. The problem then was that the goal at the start of the third period must have been, what was it, about 12 seconds in or less probably, and it was just an absolute travesty, and it just seemed to undo all the good work that we'd done prior to that. And again, we just haven't sort of, you know, we'd been really resilient previously. We'd come back a couple of times, we'd scored some good goals, we'd fought back really well. You know, we were engaged on the physical side, and I think I think you intend to talk about that in a few seconds probably. But, you know, I thought overall we were good, but we just made those mistakes again that just can't happen. And it was very, very frustrating just to see that goal at the start of the third.
Davey, coming back to the fact that how feisty it was. Of course, we asked the question before the game about the incident with Trevor Hendricks and Matt Nickerson and whether people thought this was the game to try to settle it. It came out that people thought, no, this game was too big. The actual, I think it was 56, 57% of the people that came back said it was too big a game. But that didn't stop it from being, and Trevor Hendricks playing his part, but from it being a feisty game, especially in that second period, a bit of coming together in front of the benches, ended with with Ganzak, Rutherford, Hendricks, and Dr. Pickett all in the box. And it also looked like that, Josh Bash came off the bench to get involved.
I don't think there's any doubt he did. The highlights clearly show six, Cardiff Devils versus, five Belfast Giants on the ice. He clearly just opens the door and steps into it and throws them down and gets going and
gets nothing.
I don't know whether that's going to be something that'll be looked at by the league or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's pretty clear that he steps into off the bench to fight.
So then coming in, sorry,
I saw quite a lot of remarks around, you know, on the likes of Twitter about it at the time. So, you know, I think people are surprised that the referees didn't pick up on it, especially having the two of them there.
Yeah.
I assume if the Belfast Giants don't cite, you know, Cardiff, nothing will come of it because Dobbs don't seem to, they only seem to look at headshots and checking from behind, I think, or game penalties, you know. And the Giants won't cite him. If the Giants don't cite Robert Farmer for a slew foot on their goalie last week, they're not going to cite someone for stepping off the bench for a fight.
Well, as of today's Dobbs announcement, there have been no requests, so we can assume that it hasn't been cited. But coming back to this game, Davey, the feistiness, the battle that took place, let's look ahead briefly to the second leg. Does this feistiness continue, or do the Giants have to basically head down and go for it?
First goal is going to be all crucial, isn't it? So from that point of view, you don't want any of your players sitting on their backsides watching the game, you need, we need to be four lines deep. We need to have those three lines of scoring, and we need to have one line that's going to do the dirty work on the corners. We need to have our 16 D-men available, and we need our goalie to have his best game of the season.
So you're not asking much then.
It's not the night for settling scores. That can be done in the Ice Arena Wales in a few weeks when we play them back to back. Hopefully with Matt Nickerson back in the lineup. Don't know how his injury's healing up, but that's something he wants to do himself for a start.
Aaron?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's actually a bit of a shame that there's this Olympic break this week, because it would have been fantastic, I think, if we'd had the second leg sooner. I think with that big gap, it might take a little bit of the edge off it. And obviously, you know, it's more important that we go out there and win it. But if we get a couple of goals behind, who knows what will happen?
We've talked about some of the shortcomings. I want to bring Stephen Murphy back into this discussion. Davey, a bit of an incident behind the goal where Murph basically took the puck, held it, and was caught out, and the Devils scored their fifth. There have been a few causes for concern in the last couple of weeks, and maybe his play not being aggressive. Is there any real concern? He's now pulled out of the GB team. Mark Garside stepping in, obviously not in his place. Stevie Lyle stepping in his place. But is there any concern on the way Stephen Murphy's playing?
I think Aaron nailed it earlier there when he says he's making a lot of big first up saves. Rebound control maybe hasn't been great, and he's let in goals, you know, that he hasn't in the past. Now, I am no goaltending expert, with plenty of them on the Facebook and Twitter forums already. We'll let them critique away, because I'm not good enough in that area of the game to understand just how difficult it is, or exactly, you know, if Murph's carrying an injury, would I even notice? I don't know. I just know that confidence wise, he covered pucks on Sunday when he had tons and tons of time. And we wonder what he was doing. You know, he's covering it and taking a face off in the zone rather than playing with a stick. The fifth goal where he comes and plays it, okay, the D-man should maybe help him out a bit more, but he's time to get that up the boards in a way. And he's just dwelt on it a wee bit too long, and he's got robbed. And he's, you know, I think the commentator said he panicked a wee bit. He came around and dived onto the ice, obviously thinking Haddad's going to shoot straight away. And Haddad has the patience to wait and wait, and then, you know, fired in. It didn't, you know, it doesn't look any better anytime you watch the replay. It doesn't matter how many times you watch the replay, it doesn't get any better. And unfortunately, it's just a mistake, which he isn't prone to making. He's usually fairly good with his stick. I don't know, Paddy. I can't say too much more than that. You know, I don't want to hammer Stephen Murphy, because, you know, he's been first star of the game 8 times this season. More, you know, out of 40 games or 45 games, you know, 1 every 5 games he's been the best player on the ice. He's carried us at times. You only need to listen to the coaches, you know, saying how important he is to the team. Your goalie at times needs to be your best player, but at the minute, he's not our best player at the minute, and that's what we need from him going forward this season.
Aaron?
Yeah, I wonder if there's maybe just a little bit of maybe lack of confidence between him and the D. You know, I wonder if that's pinning, and it maybe relates a little bit to what we've talked about, in that, you know, he's having to face some second chances that he doesn't want, and if he's maybe lacking a little defense or a little confidence there in the D, and if the D are maybe in turn lacking a little confidence in what he's doing behind them. I don't know. But again, like Davey, I'm not an expert, and that's just maybe something that could be there.
Yeah, I think from my own point of view, watching the game on Sunday, I thought that, I agree with both of you, gents. I think that Stephen Murphy isn't prone to these mistakes all that often, and maybe when they do happen, they go through a microscope. I would like him to be sometimes a little bit more aggressive when defending his net, but he seems to be, you know, flapping it more than he used to. But in saying that, he's still pulling off some stellar saves and stoning out a hell of a lot of chances that we're short on D, and, you know, these chances are coming at him and he's stoning them out. And, you know, I'm by no means saying that Stephen Murphy is any way responsible for the run that we're on. I think it's a whole big team defense thing. But yeah, it would be interesting to see. He's got a weekend off now, unless he plays against Cortina. Which I doubt he will, consider he hasn't gone with GB, and we'll see how he goes when we come back the following weekend. Highlights of this game. available from Ice Time TV on the Cardiff Devils website. Now, we spoke last week about new arrival Jim Vandermeer. The defenceman comes to Belfast with a CV including 9 years in the NHL. And today we got an exclusive first interview with the Belfast Giants' new D-man, and he spoke with Aaron.
Now joined by Jim Vandermeer, the newest Belfast Giant. Jim, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
For those who maybe don't know who Jim Vandermeer is, you know, you had a great career in the NHL. You played for a few teams, you Philadelphia, Chicago, you know, some storied franchises there, Edmonton as well, and San Jose. You know, have you any great memories from those times that you like to think back on?
Well, for sure, there's, you know, the people you meet and the cities that you play in. You know, each one's very unique, and the fans are unique. You know, Philly's got the history of the Broad Street Bullies, and their fans are a real blue collar set of fans. So they're quite different than, you know, say, you know, Calgary or San Jose set of fans. So I think just the best memories are, you know, getting to meet some new people and, you know, getting to check out, you know, the sights and the sounds of the cities.
You know, you mentioned the reputation of Philadelphia there. I think it would be fair to say that certainly earlier in your career that, you know, that was one thing that you brought into the team. You were a very a physical D-man who was very willing to drop the gloves. And maybe, I don't know, did you feel that was the best way for you to get into the NHL at the start?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, you take advantage of your opportunities, and at that particular time in 2002, you know, I was probably fourth or fifth on the depth chart of their team, and, you know, a couple of guys were sick and a couple of guys were hurt, and I got an opportunity. So I went in there and saw kind of what I felt the need was for that team, and like I said, did what I thought was necessary in order to stick in the lineup.
But sort of going away from that, you know, it wasn't as if you were a one-dimensional defenseman. You put up over 100 points in the NHL as well. So, you know, I think it's a good sign that you proved that there was more to your game than that.
Yeah, I think if I was, you know, just one-dimensional, I wouldn't have been there for almost 10 years. So, you know, I think as most players that play in the NHL, they're usually, you know, a little bit higher in skill than most, and it's all relative to the opportunity that you're given. So if you get an opportunity to play power play or get to play with some better players, you know, hopefully those guys they take advantage and can show that they can do more than just kind of whatever role they're penciled in as.
And looking sort of through your career, you had a couple of appearances in the playoffs when you were with Calgary. How do the playoffs differ to the regular season over there?
It's just everything's kind of magnified. Like every little mistake, you know, everybody's, you know, that much sharper. So every little mistake, it ends up in the back of your net. So I think that's the biggest thing in playoffs. Like everybody finishes checks even more. Like not that they don't during the regular season, it just seems like there isn't one that a guy misses. It seems like, and just every mistake is magnified.
Your NHL career ended in 2011-12. You spent a season following that with Chicago Wolves in the AHL, but then you made the move across the Atlantic for the first time, heading to Switzerland. You know, was that a big change for you?
Yeah, it was definitely quite a change. You know, I didn't really know much about the league or any league over in Europe, really, at that point in time. You know, I just had a couple people from over there give me a call and asked if I was interested, and I was still looking to get a tryout or a contract still in NHL at that time, but it didn't look like that was happening. So I'd always talk with my wife about going over to Europe after the NHL was done and getting to tour the world a little bit and get to know some more cities. And, you know, when the NHL opportunities weren't there, then, you know, we felt it was time to head overseas.
And you mentioned there that, you know, you didn't have much knowledge of European leagues and so on. What knowledge, if any, do you have of the British League or have you gained since you signed a couple of weeks back?
I'm still not 100% sure. It's obviously just secondhand information, but, you know, I've played with a couple of guys that have played in the league, and a couple of guys that played with in junior had played in the league. So it's changed a bit in the last handful of years, but it seems like it's getting better and better. And, you know, I'm still going in a little bit blind, but I'm definitely excited to see how the league is.
And, you know, how did the move come about? You know, you mentioned you've played with a few guys in the league. You've also got some links with current Belfast Giants. You've played on the Spengler Cup sides with Derek Walzer, who's our player coach. And you're sort of a distant cousin of our new forward, Dave Rutherford. Did that help to bring the move along for you?
Well, for sure. I think that's kind of really how it came along. Once David got to Belfast, he was talking with Derek about, you know, you guys had a need for a defenseman, and he said, well, you know, Jimmy's sitting at home, he's skating, but he's still kind of looking for something to do. And next thing you know, Derek gave me a call and we started chatting, and just more information about the city and the team and everything like that. It just seemed like it'd be a good fit and a good opportunity to keep playing hockey.
You mentioned there that you were without a contract at the start of this year. Have you been doing any, you know, you've been skating. Have you been doing anything else to keep in shape? You know, I'm sure some Giants fans will have seen that you haven't been active so far. What have you been up to? I mean, I saw a video that you linked to on your Twitter of playing a game. Was it on an outdoor rink at the top of the Rockies?
Yeah, just, well, that was the most exciting thing that I had been up to. But, just finding some friends and some pickup games and skating that way. So some of it was not such great skill, and some was really good skill. So you know, the last, you know, 6 months I've been skating, you know, 2-3 times a week. So I feel like I'm in good shape, ready to go. So just a matter of time. I'm kind of itching to get going.
You've been reading up on how the Giants have been going, especially recently, and you're probably well aware that we've had a bit of a blip in form since really through January. You know, what do you feel that you can bring maybe some leadership to the side and turn around the form that the Giants have been on over the last few weeks?
Well, I would like to hope. I would hope that I would be able to do that. You know, once I get in there, talk to Derek and see what the need is and exactly where I'd fit. And you know, I think with my experience, just you know, keep it simple and doing the right things, you know, hopefully, you know, other guys pick up on that and kind of get back to their winning ways.
You know, the league over here is slightly different. The main focus of the season is the league itself, the league title. But outside that, we've got two other competitions. We're in the quarterfinals of the Challenge Cup, which we had the first leg of last night. Again, it's slightly different, which we lost 5-3, but you'll be in town in time to play in the second leg, hoping to turn around that two-goal deficit. You know, what would your goals be? Would you be hoping, obviously, to turn that around and aim for the two available titles and maybe push us back towards the league title?
Well, for sure. And that's the only reason why I think any guy plays sports is to win. You know, everybody's competitive. They want to win. And you know, that's no different from me joining a team late in the season. That's definitely the goal, is to win as much as possible, whether it's the Challenge Cup or the league or the playoffs. It's just get out there and work as hard as you can and, you know, leave it all on the ice and see what happens.
Having looked through your fight card, I think a lot of fans probably recognize the name from the past and being a tough guy, but there's a few guys in the league that you've maybe tussled with before. Cam Jansen, who's one that stands out. You know, are you looking forward to potentially renewing some old acquaintances like that as well?
Yeah, that's always a possibility. You know, we'll see what happens once we get out there. You know, I'm a type of player that's never backed down from anything, so you know, if that situation arises, you know, it'll happen, and if it doesn't, then you know it doesn't. So obviously time will tell with that. You know, from the time I started playing junior hockey in 97 till now, even when I was in Switzerland, it's you know, it's a little bit different game there, but you know, I still, you know, I can throw hits and play physical and play good defense. So we'll see what happens when we get on the air.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much for joining us on the show. We look forward to seeing you. I think you'll be making your debut this coming weekend. We'll have a couple of games against the Italian side, or over while the GB guys are away playing in the Olympic qualifying tournament. So I guess that's a good chance for you to settle in and get to know the guys as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kind of the timing, how we had it kind of set up is come in and have some time to get to speak with the guys rather than just jump right into it. But so it should be exciting.
Thanks very much to Jim. Let's have a look around the league, gents. We'll actually start with the discussion that Brayhead are faltering a little. They've had three losses in a row now, the Fife at home, Fife away, and the Nottingham Panthers away. Now, they've been hit by a few injuries as well. Matt Keith's got an upper body injury that could possibly end this season. Matt Haywood's got a fractured jaw, and they don't know when he's going to return. Scotty Pitt's got a concussion, and he's day-to-day. In regards to return, and this weekend, they're up against the Edinburgh Capitals in two games against the Manchester Storm, where they'll also be missing Ben Davies. And they could possibly be missing Nathan McIver and Brandon Brooks, depending on Dops. Now, Davey, the other week we talked about how maybe Brayhead are on a march here. It may not be as clear-cut.
They're being rerouted to second place, aren't they, Paddy? To be topical. it's just about the same time this time last season where they started to choke. And until you start winning things, it becomes very difficult. Getting that first win, as Liverpool know, getting that first league win, you know, I believe that if they can get that, if they'd have won the league the other season there, you know, things would have been massively different. I think for Brayhead, if they'd have won last season, they might have countered it this season. It's just getting that belief. And they seem to be, Fife are no mugs at the minute. Fife are playing quite well. You obviously took points off us last weekend. I think the 3-3 nights, and they might have won two of them. They've obviously beat Brayhead twice now. And you know, I don't know, Paddy, all those bodies out now, you know, at this time of season, there'll be other guys will be playing with knocks, because we're the same. Belfast Giants have, you know, 20 guys in their roster. I'm sure half of them are playing with little bits of niggles, maybe more than that. And, you know, as you say, Dops could, you know, cost Brayhead a couple of bodies this season. It's going to be a very, very big weekend, because Manchester still believe that they can get into that eighth slot, and they will be getting thrown everything. This is a big weekend for them too. Although they'll be missing a couple of Brits as well, like Davy Phillips and Matty Davies. But big weekend ahead for Brayhead, and this catches them up in games against the Cardiff Devils. So we'll know come Sunday night exactly what the status going forward is, what both teams are going to have to do to win the league.
Well, that's it, Aaron. As Davy says, you know, Storm are on a winning run at the minute in this playoff race. They have four wins on the trot. They beat the Edinburgh Capitals, who are struggling 13-9. I want to come on to that a second, but in regards to them coming in up against the Brayhead clan, the clan, if they start to wobble, how far could this wobble go?
Not too far, because I would love to see the clan win the league purely to annoy Hitchy.
Wouldn't we all?
But no, you know, the problem is that they haven't got over the line yet, and until you get over that line for the first time, you know, it's difficult. Especially, you know, the coach is still the same. There's a lot of the same players who went through it last year. So I'd say there'd be a few sort of sweaty brows in that clan dressing room now, and they're going to need to find a few wins from somewhere. You know, last week, or when we talked, I think the league was pretty much in Brayhead's hands. That the five games in hand, and if they'd have won them all, they'd have been a point or two ahead of Cardiff. That's not the case now. It's now the case that the games in hand aren't going to take them ahead. Yes, they do still have the slightly probably easier run in, but you wouldn't have thought they'd lost some of the games that they've lost in the last few days. So I think the pressure's really, really on Brayhead.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pressure on Ryan Finnerty to sort of produce, given the running that they've got, how close they came last season, and how much it's in their hands at this moment in time. It is fully within their hands for them to go on and take this title. They just have to go and do it. I also would like to see them do it to end some of the persecution complexes that a lot of their fans seem to be putting out, that nobody would respect them, or that the establishment's against them. Which is obviously not the case. They can go out there and win it. And if they do go and win it, more power to them. Coming back to the fact that the what I was saying there, Davey, about the Storm being on that winning run, that 13-9 win in Edinburgh, it looked clear cut at one point. The Storm were well ahead, but poor old Stevie Wilcock.
Well, yes, poor old Stevie Wilcock, and not. Whenever they put him in, and we were saying to coach, you know, what's the scoreline rocket here, mate? And he went through about 10 fags in about five minutes whenever the goals start flying in. Like, for me, I've been, you know, saying to coach all season, this kid goes along to every practice, doesn't get paid an awful lot of money. Obviously, you know, I'm not speaking out of turn there. I don't know what he gets paid, but I imagine a backup goalie for Manchester who's a bit of a club goalie who never gets any ice time isn't getting a lot of money. You know, he's there every training session. He goes home and away. He travels up to Scotland. He gives up time from his other, you know, duties, job. I don't know if he's got another job or what. It was nice to give him a bit of ice time. Whether or not he, you know, they know he's not going to be an elite league starter. They know he's in for 5 minutes. And yes, he conceded a lot of goals. And, you know, from what you hear, it was a bit of bad form from Edinburgh as well. But, you know, he's had a little taste of it now. I don't think he'll get an awful lot more. But, you know, fair play to him. He's, you know, he's realised a dream there that none of us will ever get. You know, he's played in the top league in the UK, whether he's good enough or not. He's went and done it, so, you know, fair play to him.
I think my favourite was when you showed television's Neil the Coach Russell, Stevie Wilcox's goal against average.
What was his goals against average?
33.2.
That's what I said to him. Whenever they brought him in the net, I was trying to explain to Coach how goals against average has worked out. And he says, his goal against average is going to be brutal, Coach. But on a save percentage, isn't all that sexy to look at as well. I think it's about 50%. But hey-ho.
He'll get, to be fair.
Stats like that, your club could be after him.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, to be fair, Simon Mignolet's save percentage is 47%, according to Triple J. So, you know.
Yeah, well, Simon Mignolet had more clean sheets in 2014 than any other, or 2015 than any other goalkeeper.
This anyway, isn't a football podcast.
It's not a football podcast. I do have one eye on the FA Cup at the minute, but that's fine. But yes, back to Stevie Wilcox. No, he'll get ripped on the coach by the lads. You know, there'll be a bit of a laugh about it. They took the win in the end. You know, maybe it's just a bit of an eye opener.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about it there that he will get ripped by his teammates, but, you know, that's all part of it.
But they know. They know exactly what the situation is.
Yeah, right? And
you know what? Sorry to butt in here, because I'm going to bring up another point. Rob McGregor, great guy, and hopefully he'll be a panellist on the AVFTB Live come beanpot time in November. You know, makes a very good point about, how, and I've said it a few podcasts as well, how there's a number one, you know, you've the likes of Nottingham and Brayhead and I think Sheffield at times have had two import goalies, two goalies that they could play on any given night. Whereas a lot of teams, Manchester have Zane Kalamba, that night that he got through out of the game in Cardiff and basically refused to go off. Because,
now we know why.
He did the same Belfast, I don't know if you remember, whenever...
Yeah. Because that's what he's saying to coach as well, and he says
he waved his hand and said no.
Yeah, he's in Galimba. He does what he wants. But you know, this league has no depth at all in goaltending worth talking about in a lot of teams. You know, I don't even know where I'm going with this point, other than you know this league with the import quota going up this year, you could see teams carrying a second goaltender rather than, you know, stack him with another right skater.
Well, we already see it. We see it currently in Brayhead.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
We see it currently in Brayhead, and we've seen it in the past in Nottingham. When they had both Kowalski and Modig.
Yeah, and at the minute they've Weekman and Matt Laura.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we've got a bit off tangent there, but I think that Wilcox really highlights how tenuous the goaltending. If like Zane Kalamba takes an injury today in training, what do Manchester do on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think it's a really.
You know, we're fortunate we're in a position. Andrew Dixon, we believe that the day could come in, step in around him. Dicko's stats, you know, 926 or something this season. He's capable to carry a few games. Brad Day came in, was capable to carry a few games. The guy in Brayhead came in for a few games. Can't remember his name. Gary Russell came in. Carry a few games.
And Mike Weller down in Cardiff.
Gary Russell even said after a few games he needed a break because he wasn't used to playing, you know, three games in a week or whatever. These guys can come in and do a job for one night or maybe two games, but they can't do it sustained. One, they don't have the physical, you know, and mental build up that is required. Stephen Murphy is obviously fatigued at this stage of the season. 48 games or something. You know, Jans have played 49 games. Stephen Murphy's played 48 of them. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have, and this brings up that, you know, the 75% rule to get a visa to come in. There's no goalies in America and North America that play 75% again. NHL goalies don't. Was there something like two NHL goalies would have qualified for a visa last season?
Carey Price wouldn't be able to play in the elite league through the 75% rule. Wouldn't be eligible.
You know, so it's goaltending is something that rule needs looked at. And I think that with the import level going up, it's going to give us an opportunity. If Stephen Murphy stays in Belfast as the Belfast goaltender, I don't want to see Dicko out of a job. But I think that if the Belfast Giants brought in an import netminder and those duties were shared, I think the league would go up another step and, you know, in product.
Moving on, the Cardiff Devils have announced a date for the opening of Ice Arena Wales. It'll be the 27th of February against the Coventry Blaze. The doubleheader against Sheffield that takes place just before will be held in the Big Blue Tent, and I'm sure it's just a coincidence that the move takes place after those two games. Other news came out on Sunday night that David Ling will be departing the Panthers due to family issues. Ling, in his 32 games this season with the Panthers, scored 46 points, Aaron, and that's a big blow to the Panthers at this stage of the season.
It is. I mean, he's pretty much irreplaceable. You know, whatever people... whether they're fans of him or not, as a player, he is a match winner. He came back after being away for a while, and I suppose there were a few queries as to whether he would still be at the same level, but he absolutely is. And he's one of those guys that you hate playing against, so it's a bit of a boost for anyone who still has to face the Panthers.
Divi, 41 years old and nearly a point and a half per game. That's not bad.
Yeah, when he first came back, we thought he'd maybe lost a step. And I think that even Panthers fans themselves, although they're treating this like a bit of a death this week.
tributes galore.
I think that he had lost a step of pace, but top quality players have a step in their head. And that David Ling, you know, had quality. What are you saying there? 47 points or something? 46 points you're
46
saying he had?
46 points in 32 games.
You know, that speaks volumes, you know. Quality player, not my cup of tea, but you know, it's a big loss to the Panthers.
Dundee Stars have signed Scott Brannan from Robert City Rush, where he was coached by former Bracknell Bee Joe Ferris, and they brought him in to replace.
That's good knowledge.
Thanks, mate. And he's in there to replace Dave Turon, who left earlier, well, only a few weeks ago. Dops. Well, Coventry Blaze forward Carl Lauzon got a 5-plus game for checking from behind against the Cardiff Devils. That's to be assessed. Nathan McKeever got a 2-plus 10 for checking to the head against the Nottingham Panthers on the Saturday. He also got the same penalty against the Fife Flyers on the Sunday, so both of them will be assessed. And Brennan Brooks got 2-plus 10 for checking to the head against the Fife Flyers on Sunday night. Davey, Nathan McKeever, same penalty two nights in a row. I think Dops might be coming down on that.
Yeah, well,
if it's legitimate,
let's let them look at the evidence. It shows up that grey area where a player can get thrown out of a game one night and play the next night on there when he maybe shouldn't have been playing because of the time it takes Dops to assess these things. And that's not a knock at Dops. That's just that's the system that's set up there, and we'll have to accept that. Yeah, if he's came up with two plus tens two nights in a row for checking the head, I think he might be having a weekend off coming up.
GB, it's a GB weekend. Team GB head out to Cortina for the Olympic qualifiers. Mark Garside, who wasn't in the squad initially, now steps into the squad while Stephen Murphy steps out. And as I said, he'll be replaced by Stevie Lyle. Aaron, what do you expect from GB in this weekend?
Yeah, it's funny, we were talking about this earlier, and it's something that I don't think a lot of Giants fans especially have really engaged with. Or, you know, I remember the GB playing against the Giants back in season two.
Terrence Sandler scored in that game.
Yeah, he scored his only goal?
It might have his only goal, yeah.
But, you know, it'll be tough for them. You know, they're only getting together, I think, today. Mm-hmm. To prepare, and they're flying over tomorrow. They face up to the Netherlands and Italy, and I can't remember who the third team is, but I think it'll probably come down to the last game on Sunday. I hope they do well, and I hope they get through, but I think playing in Italy will be difficult.
That other team is Serbia. Davey, the GB take a mid-season break, a lot of these players going out there. You hope that the likes of Garside and Shieldsy and Peacock and all don't pick up any injury, but then they'll want to perform at a high level for Pete Russell.
Yeah, the guys they'll be excited about getting out there and playing for GB. We spoke to Colin Shields on Sunday night after the game, and he was keen to get going. He's been involved with GB a long time. He'll want to do well. I'm sure these guys just would absolutely love the chance to go to the Olympics. I don't believe that we're at that stage yet. I think that, as Aaron said, winner takes all, possibly. We've got two very difficult games first up, before we play Italy on Sunday night. But hopefully it'll be winner takes all. And if we've got enough to get through that, the three groups that the winner of this group could potentially go into are all very, very difficult draws. And to come through them and go to the Olympics would be verging on bigger than Miracle on Ice. But yeah, you can be a bit selfish. I want the Team GB to do well, but I want Craig Peacock, I want, Colin Shields and Mark Garside, Johnny Boxall, to come back injury free, to come back refreshed. If anything, it's going to be a hard game, three games in 3 days. I'm sure they'll play. It'll be tiring. A bit of travel and a bit of practice this week, but I just want them to come back injury free and see where it takes them. GB wise, wish them all the best. I as I said, I hope they win, but for me, the players coming out of it unscathed will be the main thing.
Let's have a look at the Elite League table before we move on. Top of the tree, still the Cardiff Devils, 60 points from 42 games, 4 points behind them in the same amount of games, the Sheffield Steelers. The Nottingham Panthers are in third with 52 points, and the Clan have slipped to fourth place. They did have enough games in hand to overhaul the Cardiff Devils. They no longer do. 51 points, 39 games. Belfast Giants, they are 47 points from 40 games. And then Fife, Dundee, Coventry Blaze are in 37 from 38 games. Manchester Storm, 3 points behind them, trying to get into that eighth spot. And they are 34 from 41. And then the Edinburgh Capitals really, really struggling now. Losing players, hand over fist, and struggling to get the games. And they're 24 points from 41 games. Let's move ahead, gents. Time for the fan agenda in association with our friends at Belfast Giants TV. What have we missed and what should we be talking about? The best questions, get a free Belfast Giants TV webcast. And we'll start off with Ryan Donaldson. Has going to four-line hockey, Aaron, reduced competition for ice time to the point where players get away without giving 100%?
I think it's actually quite the opposite.
Okay.
I think when you've got four lines, if you remember back to whenever Colin Shields came back after his injury, he was playing down on that fourth. Now, let's be honest, we haven't actually had that many games where we've been able to play the four lines, first of all. So we've actually had situations where we've been playing three lines with an extra. And in that case, yes, it probably does mean that guys aren't getting the ice time that maybe they deserve. But thinking back to, as I say, to that game whenever Colin Shields came back after his injury and was down playing on a fourth line, I mean, if you're Colin Shields and you've played as a he's probably not the scorer that he was a few years back. He's much more of a two-way kind of player now. But if you're down in that fourth line, you're going to be busting your balls to get a chance to play on, be it the power play or the penalty kill. So I actually think that it should be something that encourages players to play harder.
David?
I can see where the question's coming from. I would like to think it doesn't affect it that way. As Aaron said there, Shieldsy's been playing down in the fourth line or a bit of the third line time. He's been centre between Kiefer and Loiter at times, and he's put up a lot of points since he's came back. I think he's at over a point a game in the sort of last 8, 9, 10 games. And, for him, it's certainly not causing him to take a night off. He's working really hard. I don't really get the question in so much as it should add to our depth. It should make us better. And the nights that we've played with four lines, the likes of that night in Manchester, the first leg of the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup, it gave Manchester too many different options. So no, I don't think it does, to answer the question.
I think looking at, I don't know. I agree. It's a bit of a, it's a dynamic that we're not really used to anymore in UK hockey, because maybe we had that sort of thing back in the ISL days, but it was a lot more clean cut. We had fully imports and we had guys who were playing at a high level and maybe weren't able to spot it as much. Now we've got guys trying to fight their way up through the lines, as Aaron said, in regards to Shieldsy and whatever, but maybe not getting that settle line and getting settled four line hockey makes a big difference. To say the players get away without giving 100%, I wouldn't agree with that. I think you can always note the guys who aren't given 100%. I don't think there's any way that any player, or, well, of note, can basically coast through a game and it not be picked up by somebody, let alone the coaches or the other players, and they'll be called out for it. So I'd like to see four-line hockey develop a bit more. We all want to see more depth. We want to see more scoring. We want to see a stronger league. But then it's all to do with, you know, how good our Brits are going to be, how good our imports are going to be, and how we structure our teams. But a good question. Chris GL Lovell, at Chris GL Lovell on Twitter. If you had to pick two players you would re-sign and two you wouldn't sign for next season, who would it be? He excludes Keith and Shields, but that's up to you. Related to this, who Jamie Hamilton asks, the first player, asks you, who is the first player you'd have signed up for next season? I'll start with you, Davey.
Oh, I'm a fanboy. Chris Higgins would be. the Belfast Stats would be back. Injury-hampered season. He's been unlucky this season, but I still think, and to quote coach, have you got the dinger there? He's X-factor. You know, he has that little something about him that can unlock a defence. That tie-up with Forney and Benedict when it was flying at the start of the season, you know, it was sensational, and it's just a disappointment that he's been so hampered with injuries this season that he's missed a lot of games, and maybe that chemistry that they had at the start of the season could have been so much better if that had been kept together. Unfortunately, you can't change time. So two of the pick two to come
two
back.
Two in, two out.
Two in. David Rutherford, for me, has impressed over a point of game since he's came in, has done exactly what it said in the 10, done exactly what it said in all the press releases. He was going to be the guy that goes to the dirty areas. You only needed to see how disappointed he was on Sunday night, coming away at half time with a deficit from Cardiff. He is a believer that this team is better than what it's showing at the minute, and he's going to work hard to make sure that it produces what it can produce going forward for the rest of this season. When you have people like that in the locker room, it forces other players to lift their game. So for me, the two guys that would be signed, it's, you know, you could go on. I really want Daryl Lloyd back, because Lloyd are really, you know, things, there's a lot of players you'd want back there. But if I'm playing this game, David Rutherford and Chris Higgins come back.
Two out. This is where you have to be ruthless.
Chris Beach, for me, went to the blue paint once on Sunday night and got rewarded. That's the Chris Beach that I thought we were signing. He's put up 75% of the numbers that I think he should have put up. I think he's fantastic in the face-off circle. He brings so many good things to the team, and he's so much more to give that, you know, that he hasn't shown this season. When we, I don't know if it's a system thing, when we're playing the power play, when we play on umbrella, he's really high slot, almost stuck in no man's land where he isn't contributing. He's fluffy at times, he's out of games, he plays a lot on the boards. When he goes to the blue paint, he could dominate this league. The reputation he had, the CV that he had, he should have delivered so much more than what he's delivered so far this season. I hope for the last 15 games this season, he can go and be that guy. But at the minute, he would be one with a massive question mark going forward to come back next season. And really, Perm, one of the two D-men, Johan Edepam, although he leads the team in even strength by a distance, he's been one of our best even strength players statistically in the plus minuses. You know, Johan Edepam has looked a bit leggy over the last few months. He's looked a wee bit slow from, you know, so probably rather than go into somebody else, I would say that just to nip it in the bud, Ada Palm and Beach.
Mr. Kernan, your turn.
Thanks.
I'll skip to the next question before I get a chance.
Oh, no, you're getting to go.
the ones I'd keep, Demaray. I would probably put him down as the team MVP so far this year. And he's an absolute joy to watch. You know, the skill level and the drive that he has is just, you know, fantastic, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, you could really build an offense around. Another one, Jonathan Boxall, I think. If it was, you know, if we can bring Boxall back, I'd actually like to see it. You know, I remember speaking to him a couple of weeks back, and when I was sort of getting ready to speak to him, I was looking through his career statistics and things like that. And I know that for us this year, he's been playing a pretty defined role, you know, sort of a bit of a check-in role and some special teams, penalty kill and things like that. But, you know, having looked back through his sort of career stats, I think I'd like to see him maybe play a little bit further up the lineup and see what he could bring to us offensively as well. So And he's just another one in the mold of he just plays the really hard game. He's a Keith Lloyd type kind of guy, and you watch him out there, it's commitment. I was standing in the game there against Sheffield a couple of weeks ago. I was actually standing down at the glass for a while and just watching him go out and throw hits and things like that. It was really interesting to see just how much effort he was putting in throughout the game. So, to me, he could be a key player. And the reason that I've talked so long about the two I want to keep is because I don't want to talk about the two that I want to let go.
Come on.
I would probably sort of back Davey up in that I think Beach has been a little bit disappointing. At the start of the year, I actually thought he was getting a lot of negative press and things like that from fans. And, we were watching him closely, and he does do a lot of the little things quite well. I think we talked, I'm not sure if it was, it might have been before we actually started recording tonight, but we were talking about his face-off ability and the face-offs that he won in Cardiff. I think, and things like that. But he just hasn't had the impact you would expect of someone of his sort of experience. So I'd back Davey up on that. And the other one, I'm not going to pick a second player out because I don't know that I can, but it's similar in a way. I think I've talked about it tonight. It's the balance of the D, and I think we need to, we need to look at that balance, and we're bringing in, Jim Vandermeer, which is a fantastic signing. I think we need to have a bit more balance. We need to have probably need to keep someone like a Nickerson and have a couple of big guys in there. So I think probably one of maybe Wilson or Ganzak is potentially, in danger of not coming back just because of the style that they're playing.
So moving on to the, I'll do mine. I don't know. It's okay. Let's start off with the difficult ones first on the way out. I have to agree more or less with you, Davey, and with you, Aaron. Chris Beach, I don't know how to take him at times. He gives you that. There are certain tangibles that he gives you. He gives you possession of the puck straight off the face-off, probably 7, 8, 9 times out of 10. The guy is a beast in the circle, and he gives you that possession when you want it and when you need it. And that is something that is, it's incredibly valuable in this league. But there are times when I just feel he's too soft in the play, too soft in front of goal, too soft in the corners, too soft against the boards and trying to get the play out. He had a brilliant link up with James Demarai, and we just early on in the season where we saw some passes come out of the boards and a bit of a telepathy between the two of them. That's not really there at the moment. And for a guy with his CV and a guy with his ability that we've seen, and we've, like you say, David, the game against Cardiff, we saw it with the goal, and we see what he can do. But it just doesn't happen often enough. And hopefully in the run-in all the way to the playoffs, we can see the NHL player who was traded for Jaromir Jagr come through and show that the class is permanent, even form maybe temporary, because when he signed for the Belfast Giants, eyebrows were raised at the level of quality that we were signing. Mm-hmm. And we can see it, but we can see it in flashes, but we don't see it enough. I'd like to see that, a bit of improvement there. Otherwise, I could see him moving on. And the other one, I have to agree with you, Davey, Johan Eidepam. I want a little bit more. There were times on special teams where he looked a little bit lost, that he was just looking around him, not knowing where the puck was, not being as switched on as maybe he should be playing in that position. Positionally, at times I've felt that he's just been left all out at sea and maybe not supporting Stephen Murphy as much as a D-man of his position should. The balance on D, I agree with you, Aaron. Maybe something that needs to be reassessed coming into the new year. But it's difficult to disagree that Johan Eidepam is one of the players that we need to see just a little bit more from. And then coming on to the positives, Derek Walser, I'd like to see him back.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a D-man in this league skates or plays like him. Yes, he came back in this weekend and maybe was a little bit rusty, haven't had a few weeks out or a few games out. There were times at this weekend where I had my head in my hands thinking, come on, mate. But then there are other times you think, just his speed, his skill, his ability to play down the wing, the ability to pick out a pass, to stand along the blue line and just dictate matters. And then how, for a man of, with all due respect to him, a man of his age, the quickness that he's able to get back on the D. Now, I've a little caveat on that, that maybe on the shorthanded goal against the Sheffield Steelers, you know, he was the only D man on the play and maybe not as quick back as he could have been. But he was on the other side of the ice, and it was a little bit of a bobble that left it out there. But I think that Derek Walser, for me, is a player that I'm delighted that we have at the Belfast Giants, and I'd like to see him play with us more. And then the other one, I'm going to agree with Aaron, Jonathan Boxall. Boxy doesn't stop moving. He doesn't stop fighting. He doesn't stop skating. We are two goals down in Cardiff, and he can see the urgency in the game. He's off the bench and he's basically forechecking like a demon. He's right in everybody's faces. He's skating east to west. He's skating north to south. He just doesn't stop. We knew the blue collar player we were going to get in. We talked to our friends in Nottingham Panthers. He said, "Yo, you're going to love this guy. His work rate is incredibly high." And it is day in, day out on that ice, and I've been very, very impressed with the way the Boxall's been playing, and he'd be the first guy I'd sign up for next year. It's a very difficult question. It's a very good question. But yeah, that's where I'd go with it. Let's move on to the next one. David Purvis. One for Boomer, our friends at Boomerang Corner. Aaron, how do we get Brian Stewart in a Giants shirt?
We treat him much more pleasantly when he comes to the SSE arena.
Is that an unfair question on Stephen Murphy?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I think, you know, think of the abuse that, and maybe, okay, that's not right, sorry, we'll not say abuse, the criticism that Murphy's getting, you know, what has he done differently to what Brian Stewart has done? Mm-hmm. You know, Brian Stewart has come into the SSE arena and given up, you know, poor goals and whatever. So why I think Brian Stewart has a ceiling that is probably the highest of any goalie in the league. Unfortunately, you know, he doesn't have the consistency, and that's why he's playing for Coventry Blaze in the Elite League.
David,
what's the question?
The question is, how do we get Brian Stewart into a Giants shirt?
Photoshop.
Fair enough. Let's move ahead. Final question on the fan agenda comes from Wee Phil. Phil Armstrong, is Adam Keefe one of the best captains the team has ever had, David McGimsey?
He's one of the best. I would find it very, very difficult looking down the list of people that have captained the Belfast Giants to pick one outstanding over the other ones. Jeff Hoad, Paul Cruz, Jason Ruff,
George Iwata,
Shane Johnson, George Iwata, Colin Shields, Jeremy Rebick, and then Kiefer. All have won trophies. All have been instrumental in the trophy wins, all have been incredible leaders in their own right on the ice. Jason Ruff, the season that, you know, Stewie came in, it was so hard, put the team on his shoulders. Massive. And just said, follow me, guys. Had the guts of 100 points in a terrible season. Shane Johnson, what more can you say about Johnny? Jeff Hoad, first captain, never missed a competitive game for the club in the 2 years he was with us, went on to good things in America, or in Germany, sorry. George Iwata, you know, George Iwata's shirt should hang on the bridge with the other ones. Colin Shields, all-time record point scorer. Jeremy Rebick came in and won that league with us. These guys, for me, are on a straight line. There's no one there that I could say he is the captain of captains. Adam Keefe is, you know, got that ding again, is the heartbeat of this club. What he
ding,
does,
ding, ding,
off,
ding.
What he does off the ice for Belfast as a city, what he does for the club in the community, but what he does most importantly is Adam Keefe leads when he is on the ice. When we were up against it, as you'd say, on Sunday night, he had that fight. He went and sparked the team. He threw that, you know, threw his elbow pad up in the air and took all the heat off his teammates, looked around like he did, was it last season, the season before, when he had the fight in Belfast, and he looked around at the bench, says, come on,
yep,
give yourselves a shake. This needs to be better. And when there hasn't been, for me, a captain that does that better than Adam Keefe, you know, can turn around to his bench and say, you all need to be better. Look what I'm doing. Do it yourselves. But, you know, he's right up there on a par with all those captains that have named that have played for the club previously.
It's quite interesting, Aaron, with Davey naming those captains, as he said, that there hasn't been anybody who's captained the Belfast Giants that hasn't well, won something in some respect, maybe not as a captain, but, you know, hasn't won something. It shows you in these sort of times when we're thinking that things aren't going so well, it shows the success that our organization has had. But Adam Keefe, big part of that success.
Absolutely. And, you know, he leads from the front. He's the first guy down blocking shots. He's the first guy throwing hits. He's the first guy, as Davey said, throwing punches. But yeah, you know, you sort of mentioned something there, and I think over the years we have been spoiled by the success we've had, and sometimes when you come into a tough season like this, it is, you know, it just makes this kind of season just that little bit more tough to cope with. But you know, the season's not over. We're still in two competitions. Let's see what happens.
I think my two cents on Adam Keefe is it was all shown on Cardiff at the weekend. The guy, like I say, Davey, throwing the bombs and doing what he needs to for his team. But then I was talking to Gassius and talking about the penalty kill of the Belfast Giants, and he leaves it all. He blocks everything. He goes for everything. He was absolutely knackered out there at one point because he's just basically skating left, right, and centre, getting in everybody's faces. He couldn't get off. There was no way of him getting off because he had to go for everything, and he still found a way to basically get down on the ice to try to block one with his face.
Man, just as you said, we have had conceded penalty or power play goals against us in the last number of weeks where players don't have to be like Adam Keefe. Adam Keefe, at least twice on Sunday night, dived head first.
Yep.
At pucks going 90 mile an hour. There's players that won't even stand up to a shot to get out of the way of it. There's video evidence there. You know, I'm not talking out of school here. Players are trying to get out of the way of getting hit by a shot rather than, you know, take a puck to the body. Adam Keefe goes with his head. Now, I don't know if that says there's not an awful lot in there, but, you know, I say that with a jest in case Keefe is listening.
He's coming after you, boy.
He's coming after. But, you know, that's the psyche of the man. He will do whatever it takes to make his team and his teammates successful. We need that from everybody. Buy in. You look at Sheffield Steelers on Saturday night. I've said it earlier in the show. All five guys on the ice were down in front of Pence. We'll stop the puck from getting to you, mate. We need more of that. We need more Adam Keefe belief in our team.
Adam Keefe belief, indeed. There's our show title. Thanks for setting the fan agenda. Hashtag TFA on Twitter. That's at AVFTB or on Facebook. We'll have more next week. Rand Donaldson, you're our winner, I think, for this one, for the one on the four-line hockey. Quite like that question. And we'll be back more next week. Let's look ahead to this weekend. With Team GB off to Cortina, the lads from Cortina come to Belfast. Two exhibition games at the SSE Arena, 7 p.m. on Friday and on Saturday. Who are Cortina? Well, they come from the Dolomites in Italy, taken in Serie A. They've won 16 championships and 3 Coppa Italias. They're coached by a former Cardiff Devil and Air Scottish Eagle in John Pargo. And
that's good knowledge again.
I tell you, mate, people think I throw this show together. There is a little bit of research. But to get a little bit more flavour for the team and their players, I had a little chat earlier on this evening with Richie Crowley, 24-year-old defenceman for Cortina. Richard, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Patrick.
This is your first year with Cortina. Give us an insight to the style of Serie A. You know, is it stick work and speed, or is it a more physical league than we might give it credit for?
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely more of a skill and skating game. I've been very impressed with just how good the skaters everyone is, and they use the big rink to their advantage a lot. And it's a puck possession game as well. So, like, guys are, if you're going over the red line and blue line, instead of dumping it, you guys are kind of wanting to do that Russian style of turning back and keeping that possession and definitely attacking that way.
How do you see that as a D-man? You know, does it suit your game, your core skills?
It's definitely been different for me because I'd say throughout my career I've been more of a defensive defenseman and lacked the offensive upside. But I say it's helped me develop as well, like trying to get more confidence, carrying the puck and making those passes and being able to keep the puck rather than just get it away in tricky situations.
Before we, of course, you guys coming over this week, and before we get into talking about Cortina, let's talk about yourself here. You're a Brown alumni. Now, of course, a lot of the guys here listening will know that Brown were over for the Friendship 4 tournament earlier this season. They're captained by Mark Nicolai. I could never say his name at the time. Nicolario. He captained about him. Yeah, a former
team. Not sure if you knew, but the guys call him Snack Time. That was his nickname.
Snack
when I
Time?
Was in college.
No, I wish I'd known that back then. I'd have used that. He captained, of course, a former teammate of yours when you were up, Brown. Did you get a chance to keep an eye on what was going on with those guys coming into Europe?
Yeah, I saw they came over. They played Lowell in the finals, I believe.
They did indeed, yes.
Yeah, and I remember just catching up, talking to the coaching staff, some of the team managers and players via Facebook, emails, and Instagram, seeing they got to do some cool stuff over there. And talking to them now that I'm going there, they said that it was just an awesome trip as a team and hockey-wise as well.
Of course, one of the other guys you'd know from your days at Brown is Jordan Pietras, who plays currently for the Coventry Blaze. What do you know of the hockey style in Britain?
I've heard that every year it's getting a lot better skill-wise and stuff. I know that it's a much more physical league compared to others in Europe, which has helped guys, I guess, I think from North America kind of transition as well. Mm-hmm. And a couple of ex-teammates are over there now, and they say that it's definitely a league that's getting better each and every year. And I know this year I have two friends are playing there, and they're very impressed with the level of play.
Are you going to name and shame?
Sorry about that?
Are you going to name and shame these two friends who are playing saying it's good?
Yeah, Matt Siska, yes. And then Paul Zanette was also there as well, and Petrus.
Indeed. Of course, Paul Zanette now going back. You'll be facing him later this season as he's returned to Asiago.
Yeah, that's true. He's in Cortina right now with the Italian national team, so mm-hmm. I got to see him this morning.
You yourself actually made an immediate jump to Europe. You know, you had a couple of games with Wheeling Nailers in the Coast League, but it was more or less a straight jump into France where you won a championship, then you're Austria and Italy. Why the immediate jump? You just have skates, will travel?
I guess there's a couple things. That I think being able to have the Italian passport and mm-hmm. a couple of players who were older than me at Brown talked about the benefits of playing in Italy. And I also realized that the path to North American hockey was kind of going to be a stinky one and stuff. And coming out of college as an undercover player, I was like, you know what, I think it's time that I see some of the world, get some of that cultural education, and also try to continue playing hockey and enjoying myself. Because I hear some horror stories from guys who have to sort of shuffle around the lower leagues back in North America. And I think that just the quality of life and people I get to meet over here has just been an experience that can't be rivaled back home.
You know, you were with Bolzano last season now in Cortina. You're enjoying your time in the Dolomites?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, they call it over here the Pearl of Dynamite. It's kind of like that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, finding this place. Now, you're driving up a curvy road every direction, and then you're here, and you just got sunshine, beautiful mountains. And the best part of it has kind of been the community of people that everyone sort of looks after you. Because in the off season, there's not too many people here, and you really get to know some shop owners, restaurant owners, and just some of the locals.
Let's have a quick back to Cortina, Richie. It's not been the best of seasons for you guys. How's it been?
Yeah, if you look at it just from standings and stuff, we're currently sitting in the bottom place in Serie A. But I got to give our team some defense now. Legitimately, it's been a tough season. With the amount of injuries that we have had out, I mean, most games we're missing one or two top guys. But if you do, like, go back and look over it, we're in every single game with the exception mm-hmm. of maybe one out of the 38 that we've played so far. 37, excuse me. So it has been tough. But, I guess we're lucky. We're fortunate that this season every team is making the playoffs. So in the next 3 weeks, we'll get everyone back, have a couple good practices, get underway, and whoever the opponent we do face in the playoffs, I think we're kind of going in there with that attitude that, hey, there's nothing for us to lose. So you throw everything at them and hope for the best.
So does traveling this weekend to Belfast come as a welcome distraction?
I think it does. I think it serves a couple of different purposes. It gets us out of a soggy situation here. Mm-hmm. And just with, like, it throws you off the routine where it's like, okay, maybe we lose a couple games. But right now, it'll be good. The team gets to get away. It'll just be team, staff. Have some fun, go up there, get to play hockey in a new country, which I don't think anyone on our team has ever played before, and then enjoy a new city that has some history, see a new league, and hopefully come back for the next 5 games and playoffs just with a new attitude or just something that rejuvenates us a bit.
What are you expecting in Belfast? Obviously, it's a sort of a mid-season exhibition game. So, but are you looking to use it as a bit of a tester going into the playoffs, or is it more or less a kick back and relax and let's just enjoy ourselves?
No, I mean, off the ice, I think we're definitely looking forward to just seeing the city. But when it comes to the hockey, we have a couple players back, and I know that we want this to sort of be a tune-up just to say, hey, listen, there's 5 games left in the regular season. Playoffs are right around the corner. Let's enjoy ourselves, but also refocus on these next 2 months, 1.5 months, whatever it may be, and just say this is what the season comes down to. And I think beyond that, it's everyone looks at it as a challenge. You can it's a showcase. You get to show everyone in the EIHL what players from Serie A are like. The Italian guys get to play against more North Americans and more Europeans. Excuse me. So I think once you get to the actual hockey of it, it will be exciting, and we've heard just of the fans of the Belfast Giants, how awesome they are. So I think that energy will also just like propel everyone into just a great attitude for the hockey.
Let's finish off by bringing it back to yourself, Richard. You know, you're 3 years now in Europe. You've had your time with regards to representing Italy as well. What are you looking for from your career? You're 24 years old. You have the skates. You're in Europe. How long do you see your career going on?
I'd say at this point, I do take it year by year. It's definitely decisions that I have to make with my family. And I'd say every year I do miss the people back home, but also in our lives, we get to live once. And the fact that I've been able to be in Europe for 3 years, places I've been able to see, and I always come back to saying the cultural education that I'm getting over here is something that it can't be matched with the job back home. So as long as I think my body can stay pain-free and keep me going for these eight-month seasons, I'd like to continue playing.
Well, here's hoping that you do. Maybe we'll see you in Belfast sometime other than this weekend. Safe travelling over. We wish you well both for this weekend and the season to come.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Hope to run into you in Belfast.
Tyler, really nice bloke. One of the true gents of Italian hockey. Davey, I asked Richie a question there. Does this come as a good distraction? Because, of course, Cortina aren't having maybe the best of seasons. They're languishing at the bottom of their league. And, you know, he says there it's not down to the one-goal games and the likes have maybe left them there. They're trying to put the fight in. But I asked him whether it came as a good distraction, and he said it was good, you know, maybe to get a bit of a something elsewhere. And what about the Giants? Does this come as a good or a bad distraction at this moment in time?
I suppose for guys that are maybe carrying injuries, it comes as a bad distraction because they would have been, you know, looking for a weekend off. There's a few guys coming back. You know, Higgy will come back into play this weekend. Jim Vandermeer will obviously come in and try and get his legs under his belt from that point of view. Give Stephen Murphy obviously an opportunity if he's not going with GB. I think there are goaltenders away with Italy, so they'll be playing their backup as well. Although that their backup plays a lot more ice time in Italy, there that's a lot more split, so he's not coming in completely cold. But you know, he doesn't have great numbers. He's in the 90s, and it'll be a welcome distraction in as much as that it'll not be as intense as the bubble we've been playing in for the last few weeks. You know, winner takes all. Although Walser said he wants to play a playoff style of hockey, it's going to be exhibition hockey. I can't see both teams going in full pelt. So looking forward to seeing the games. Always looking forward to seeing my team and wanting the team to win in action. But I can't see it being played at, you know, game 7 pace.
John Parko's team coming in here, like we said, maybe not wanting to take any injuries or whatever, just come to you. And John Parko, of course, would be a friend of Steve Thornton's. He played on a line with Steve Thornton at Cardiff, I believe. But what are you expecting from Cortina?
I'm just really looking forward. I mean, I've always been a big fan of getting teams over from other leagues.
Yeah.
You know, I think back some of the great memories we've had as Giants fans have involved, the Ahern Trophy back in the day, the BT Ice Cup, things like that. You know, you had teams from, you know, we've faced teams from Germany. We've played Berlin, obviously. We've faced teams from, I think we've played teams from Norway. We've played teams from other sort of European, we've played Dutch teams in pre-season, Swedish teams at different times. So, you know, I always enjoy seeing other teams and seeing the clash of styles. You know, European hockey gets a bit of a bad rap sometimes, I think. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of style, you know, the Italians bring. I don't expect it to be, I could see it being about maybe an 85% kind of game. But I think it's actually come quite well. And Jim Vandermeer mentioned it in the interview earlier, you know, that he's sort of agreed to come over at this time. And it's given him a good chance to get in, get to know the guys, get to know the systems, get used to the arena, get used to, you know, the game day in Belfast and things like that. So from that point of view, I think it brings a positive. It's going to give Dicko two games. A lot of fans have been calling for Dicko to start a game in place of Murphy. It's a good chance for him to stake a claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can get down there to the SSC Arena for both games, or weekend pass, adults £25, concessions £18, children £14, unless you're a season ticket holder where it's only £20. And concessions 15, child for 10. If you can't get down to the SSE, of course, you'll have Sizz and Johnny. Sizz back from his Hollybobs. And he'll be covering this game on Belfast Giants TV. Sorry, that's Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. Any other business, gentlemen?
Yeah, just another reminder of the offer the Giants have on for the Cardiff second leg, which, of course, everyone who's a fan needs to get out for now. You know, with a two-goal deficit to make up, we need to get the SSE packed. We need to get the guys into Boomerang Corner, get them, you know, give them a bit of support and getting the atmosphere going. It promises to be a chippy game, as we talked about. There's going to be a bit of carryover from the last game. You know, so take the chance, get some, you know, season ticket holders and so on. Go out and get your second ticket for someone and help us to get the arena filled and get behind the guys.
Of course, the £10 for normal tickets, if you're not a season ticket holder, well worth getting involved in, considering how big this game is. And other news, Davey?
Yeah,
it's big back. News.
It's back, the Friendship for 2016, following, I suppose, the success of last year's tournament. It's back, and the teams were announced this week. The number one team in North America, Quinnipiac University, they're coming. Vermont, St. Lawrence, and UMass are all coming. Four really, really good teams, and it should be another great exhibition of hockey. Tickets will be announced in due course. Hopefully, we'll be at them, and hopefully they'll roll in again to a Sunday game for the Belfast Giants at home, just to make it a superb weekend of hockey in Belfast. But, you know, credit those. Believe those guys are all out in Boston on my trip. If you're listening, Robert. Tim McCarthy has been on to me, and he says he's very, very disappointed it wasn't on him, but got it myself, especially when see you took Nigel Ringland for dear sake. But, you know.
He could have been the AVFTV correspondent on this whole thing.
He could have been, but no ringer was out there for the BBC, so fair play to him. But I'm looking forward to it already. It was brilliant last year. The Bell Pot is coming home with those guys. They obviously lifted it at the Bean Pot during at the start of the week there and bring it back to Belfast for one of those four universities to try and get their hand on this November.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I think considering it was maybe bill of an unknown quantity when we went into it in November, and then we came out just massive fans, and the fact that they've been able to solidify the next year, no doubt you see around the league a lot of guys who maybe didn't go this year from other teams and maybe didn't know about as much have seen the response of Giants fans and the teams themselves, and have thought themselves to be part of it in November, and I'm looking forward to it. And on that note, as I say, the two games this weekend, Friday and Saturday night against SG Cortina, 7 p.m, or you can get them on the Belfast Giants TV. Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
You're welcome, Paddy. I look forward to talking to you this time next week, hopefully with 4 points against Cortina in the bag.
Aaron?
Yeah, thanks very much. Enjoyable show as always, and nice to chat to you guys. And I'm glad it was just a little bit more positive, I think, than we were this time last week.
And I leave this show having just seen that West Ham have beaten Liverpool 2-1 to go into the next round of the FA Cup. So Mark Brooks is going to be happy. So to cheer myself up, we'll have a bit of an outro, a bit of a memory. We'll go back to that thing we had a couple of weeks ago, a bit of a memory of the NCAA from last November. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time. All of you from the bridge.
Stevens offloads it, tipped in front. Goal! Zach Aston Reeks! I can't make sense. Rosenthal going to the net. Rosenthal tries for the tap-in.
Magnificent pass. Oh, baby. 3-1, Rosenthal.
How can you give it? How can you give it up?
McMurtry to Rosenthal.
Down at Sporting Occasion for Belfast, four colleges from Boston, playing for the first time ever outside the USA for points. So big deal for Boston and a very big deal for Belfast.
It's been a tremendous event. It's been phenomenal from start to finish. You know, it's kind of surreal for me to be here, for our team to be here. The opportunity to come out to Belfast and experience the city and the culture here, it's just been a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Out front! Oh boy! Stevens! Nolan Stevens! It's all Northeastern!
I'm hugely proud. I'm hugely proud of my team. I'm hugely proud of the city. I'm hugely proud of the Belfast Giants as an organisation for having the audacity and the staying power to see this great event through.
This was the closest thing to a Frozen Four type atmosphere. A lot of kids will want to come here and play after college. You know, whether they've played in the NHL or the American Hockey League, this would be a great venue and a great city to play.
Another opportunity. What a finish! Oh, that's one to pump a fist at. Lapping. Let it go.
Oh, it was tremendous. Again, the people over here are just so nice. And, you know, I thought they did a great job with the tournament. They were first class. They did everything very professional. And it was really good to get back.
Still McGrath. Goes back to Kaplan. Lets it go. Rebound. Second chance. Scores! The game is tied at five! McLario has to score. McLario comes in. Save! UMass Lowell win the Belfort. But their name will be forever etched in history. They take the very first tournament here in Northern Ireland.